The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Welcome back, everybody. You got a lot of serious things to talk about today. A couple of a little bit of good news here and there, especially in the second half of the hour. I got a couple of stories that are actually going to encourage you, believe it or not. I know that's rare air. But before we talk to my friend Michelle Woodhouse, I thought this was hilarious. This is another one of my buddies in the political realm, Fred Von Cannon, who's running for the state legislature. This was hilarious. He put this up yesterday. So, hi, my name is CNN Plus, and my pronouns are was and were. Which, yeah, I thought was absolutely hilarious. So CNN trying to start a streaming service. They poured $300 million into it and just pulled the plug because they couldn't get more than 10,000 people to sign up. So I thought that was kind of funny. Hi, my name is CNN Plus and my pronouns are was and were. I said the other day on Facebook that I finally figured out Michelle Woodhouse is with us. Michelle Woodhouse for North Carolina, Congressional District 11, woodhouse4nc.com. I finally figured out, Michelle, what my the whole pronoun thing the other day. So I blasted it out to the whole world and started on Facebook, and I determined that my pronoun is his, as in H-I-S,
as I saw
in
that.
The Lord's. So that's my pronoun. I'm sticking with it. I'm his. Anyway, welcome back. It's great to see you. How are you?
It's great to see you also. Yeah, I saw a funny meme on Facebook that was a picture of Kim Kardashian with one of her husbands and said, this even lasted longer than CNN Plus.
Yeah, pretty amazing days that we live in. So it seems like certainly it's a different world since the last time we had you on and the last time we talked. Mm-hmm. It seems like every week the stakes go up, not just for life in North Carolina and Western North Carolinians, which is the district that you're seeking to represent, North Carolina 11, but the whole country. I mean, it's just every week it seems to get more maddening, although we are starting to see, like, I want North Carolina to be a lot like Florida. So it's an interesting world that we're in. You're in a tough primary. You got a bunch of different candidates, but how's it going?
It's going great. I mean, we feel we have a great team, great grassroots efforts out here. You know, we're just growing and growing. So we feel really good about where we are. We have an incredible prayer team. Feel like this race is just truly blessed. And we feel great about where we are. And yeah, I wish we were more like Florida. I said, I did an interview earlier today, and I said, wouldn't it be great if we had a General Assembly that would step up and do what they did in Florida so quickly?
Yeah.
Do Disney, when Disney decided that they were going to go the woke grooming way, and that General Assembly just jumped in quickly and dropped the hammer.
Yeah.
And it's truly an example of what should be happening across this country and what people are demanding to have happen across the country.
That's right. You have right-minded majority in the legislature there. You have a right-minded governor. That's where things go south here in North Carolina. I'm going to talk about this in the second half of the show out of Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Which kind of talks about, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, or in other places, abandoned them to their foolish thinking, and another place, a reprobate mind. This is basically a mind that literally cannot function correctly, which is what we see in this whole woke-ism and what we see in the school system, and even at the highest levels of government. I'm going to talk about this after the break, or after the half hour, is the Biden administration going fully woke on turning children into lab rats with the whole crazy transgender stuff. But it's hard to keep a hold of. So what has, as you've been campaigning and been out there talking to people and engaged with the news, and as you have been in politics for years, Michelle, what's kind of rising to the top in terms of the most important issues for you in the campaign?
I think there's this kind of mama bear midterm movement that's happening, yes, and we're seeing it. It's really kitchen table conversations around inflation, the fact that Joe Biden's failed economy is costing families $5,200 more in fuel and food than they paid before. People are struggling under the economic failures of this economy. The border continues to be top priority, and energy, because people understand those are all connected. We shut down the border. We take it back from the Mexican drug cartels. We give our country the structure that it needs. We make Title 42 law instead of what the Biden administration yeah. wants to do. We get back to the Trump energy independence and energy dominance policies, because everything, oil affects everything.
That's right.
Plastic, packaging, transportation, all of it. And that can, those two things, you close the border, you go back to energy dominance, inflation will go back to the levels that we saw under President Trump. And this administration is doing the exact opposite of what any economic advisor would put forth. I saw, I love Charles Payne, he was on Fox Business yeah. today, talking about interest rates at 12-year highs. And I look at, you know, I know we'll talk about what we're doing to our younger children, like, you know, what we see with SEL and CRT and transgender conversations with 5 and 6-year-olds that the woke left want to do. Yeah. But I look at kids, our kids' age, right, in their 20s. And because of the failed policies of this administration, not only are we going to saddle them with a deficit that is, you know, our really our number one national security risk. Yep. The other thing that we're doing is we're stripping them of the American dream of owning a home, because they're saddled with student loan debt that they didn't should never have been able to get in the right. first place.
Yeah, not at those
and
levels.
Then we're saddling them with a national deficit because both Republicans and Democrats spend like drunken sailors.
Yeah.
And then we are now putting in place, we've got inflationary problems. We're going to probably head into a recession. I hate that this sounds gloom and doomy, but it's true.
It's true.
And these 20 and 30 year olds are going to find themselves in a place where they can't buy a home. Rent prices are going up even faster
yeah.
than what we're seeing with the housing costs. So we're saddling this these next generations with things that are really unbearable. That's why we've got to send America First conservatives that are going to go to Washington, D.C., go to Raleigh, wherever, whatever level they're running at,
yeah.
and will never take a knee on the principled small government policies of the Republican
That's
Party.
That's right. And I'm so glad you're talking about the next generation. Just this week in my classes, in my U.S. history classes here locally with high school age homeschoolers, we're going through the 70s. And I keep telling, does this sound familiar? Does this sound familiar? Does this look familiar? Does this feel familiar? And they're like, whoa. Yeah, this is a lot like the 70s. And then to your point, of course we're doing all these things to the next generation, but we've been killing the next generation since 1973. We'll kill them right. in the womb, and then we'll kill them financially. It should be no shock to anybody as to what we're doing to our own posterity in the name of what? Wokeism and autonomous morality, where who cares what God says? I'm going to do whatever I want, including eliminate the life of my child. We're here with Michelle. We'll be right back.
Might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Well, Steve, why would you pick an intro song on your radio program as well as Facebook Live and YouTube Live, which says it might seem crazy what I'm about to say? Because of what I just was talking to Michelle Woodhouse about before we hit the break in Romans 1:28, which says that because we're here now. Okay, just in case you're wondering, if you want to study anything in the Bible, if you're frustrated with the state of the nation and the culture, all you need to do is turn into one book, that's Romans, and even just one chapter, that's Romans chapter 1, start about verse 13 or 16, and you just read to the end. And it's not very long. And all of a sudden, you're going to be like, oh, okay, I get it. Because in Romans 1:28, God abandons them, gives them over to a debased mind, a reprobate mind, which means they cannot think clearly, right? They can't even reason clearly. They can't even figure out, even if you're going to sit on the U.S. Supreme Court, what is a woman? That is a reprobate, debased mind. And so if you're going to speak the truth, going to George Orwell on this one, truth is treason. In an empire of lies, Orwell wrote that. Truth is treason in an empire of lies. So, to, believe it or not, the majority of this country, somebody like me, somebody like Michelle Woodhouse, who's running for Congress, we are crazy. So that's why I picked the song. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say, but that's yeah. just because it's the truth. Anyway, Michelle, thanks for being here. Welcome back. I was asking you something off the air because I want to talk about Congress, and I was saying one of my concerns in the primary, which, by the way, everybody, don't blow off the primary. The overwhelming majority of voters blow off the primary. Okay, you cannot do that. And Michelle and I were just talking about this over the break for YouTube and Facebook, that I think we can all safely assume that we're going to at least, conservatives will at least take over the House of Representatives. My question is, when all of a sudden you take over the helm of the ship, Michelle, isn't it important who we pick to grab the wheel? That's why the primaries are so important. Who are we sending to D.C. Right. after November?
Absolutely. And I think this to all the listeners, this is, it's so critical that you start at the bottom of your ballot.
Yep.
And you vet
Amen.
Every person. Just because they have an R next to their name doesn't mean they're conservative. It doesn't mean that they walk with the Lord. And we want to make sure that we're sending people there that we know will be serving us at every level, from the school board up. I mean, talk about a realization that we had during COVID. What happens when you don't pay attention to those races? The primary is critically important. The best way to vet, I have found the very, very best way to vet, go to the North Carolina State Board of Elections, and that's NCSBE. Put their name in, and you can see how many times they've voted. You can see, did they pull a Democrat or a Republican primary ballot? You're able to get a little sense there.
Yeah.
And then you can go on to, if it's a federal race, go on to the FEC. You can pull and see who our top donors are.
Yeah.
Who are we beholden to? If somebody takes money from a lobbyist, I would steer clear of voting for them.
Yeah.
If you see people that take money from people who support Democrats and Republicans, I would steer clear of them. And then if it's a local race, you can go to Open Secrets and you can see some of the donations that people are getting.
Yes.
But I think you want to look at their record and you want to follow the money, because that'll tell you much about that person and who they're beholden to. And then, of course, you can go see what everyone's doing on social media
right.
if they're up there, and get a glimpse into, does this person exemplify what I want representing me and my family, my children, my future grandchildren, whatever the case may be. It's so critically important, because all Republicans aren't created equal. And I say this all the time. We will have a red wave in November. There's no doubt about
That's
it.
That's right.
But we get to determine how red it is.
Yeah, very
and
good.
Draining the swamp does not mean changing out the water. That is not what it means. And these races from the bottom of the ballot up are so critically important, and recognizing who you're voting for.
Yeah.
You know, I have people reach out to me every day through my website, every day, and ask me questions. And I personally answer them. Where do you stand on the Second Amendment?
You have to.
Where do you stand on pro-life? Do you think the election was stolen? Who do you want to be Speaker of the House? I heard you speak on this, like today. I hope that people will go to woodhouse4nc.com. Send me a message, any question, and know that I personally answer them. There's no staff.
Yeah.
We're a lean, mean machine.
Primaries are brutal. You're getting onto the field with people that are, quote unquote, on the same team. General election's easy. You have an identifiable enemy. It's on the other side of the aisle. That's a piece of cake in terms of running an election. But how do you deal with a primary when you have people that are quote unquote, on the same team? And even with people that you know, people that you've worked with, in this case, with an incumbent who's well known, that's Madison Cawthorn, who to me is very heartbreaking to see what's going on in his life and what's going on in his not only his personal life, but his public life. How do you run? How do you do that effectively? I can't imagine how difficult that is.
Yeah, it really hasn't been incredibly difficult in this race, and I'll tell you why. The lanes are really clearly identified for the eight of us. I mean, I score right of Madison on everything.
Wow.
Numbers USA, 411, I score to the right of him. And so you kind of have the very conservative lane. Then we have a state senator who's, Raleigh Country Club establishment. He's using Richard Burr's consulting team. He voted to put social emotional learning in classrooms,
voted for
masks. So it doesn't take long to figure out that person.
You might have heard Michelle mention that. Okay, this SEL learning.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, what is that? We don't have a lot of time for it, but evidence, that's social and emotional learning. Okay, it's basically a way to get wokeism even into first and second and third and fourth grade, into math, into science, into everything. Okay, so that's what, when she says SEL, it's what she meant.
Yeah, it's the umbrella under which we have CRT and grooming and other things. And when presented, it sounds lovely, but it is toxic, and it is destroying our children. So what we found with the eight of us in this race, and we even have someone she's a straight out Democrat, but she just has an R next to her name. The more forums, the more debates,
Amen.
The more that we're out on the stump talking, it becomes very evident to voters. And so, my whole goal is to make sure it's easy for voters, for the constituents here, to see the differences. If you want a moderate, Michelle Woodhouse isn't your candidate.
That's right.
If you want someone who's going to be grounded in the Constitution and the Bible, Michelle Woodhouse is your candidate, someone that you can be proud of and you know will not be making saucy headlines for things that bring embarrassment and shame to the position, then Michelle Woodhouse is your candidate. And so I think the more that voters get exposed to people in a primary, the better.
Yeah, I think, and I love the fact that you're talking about debates and forums and that kind of activity, because if somebody can't take the heat of a debate, if they can't take the heat of questioning, if they can't take the heat from somebody else running against them and they hide, that tells you everything you need to know about them. And when referencing what you were, when I look at, I give Madison Cawthorn a lot of props for getting into Congress at the age of 25. And all my classes this week, because this came up, I was talking to them about the requirement to get into the House is just 25 years of age. The average age of my student is probably 16, Michelle. And I'm like, how many of you are comfortable with a 25-year-old going to the House of Representatives? And not a single one was comfortable with that. And I said, why not? And they said, they're just not old enough. They're not wise enough. They haven't experienced enough stuff. There's just not enough maturity there. And I'm like, that's right. I appreciate that a young person can get in, but I would never put anybody in the House of Representatives. Literally, I'd probably move that up to about 25. Age matters.
It does. Well, and you know, I supported Madison. I know you did.
Yeah.
I pray for him every day by name. I have for 2 years.
Amen.
And he had an incredible opportunity. You know, the founding fathers were quite young, right?
Yeah.
He had an incredible opportunity. And unfortunately, he's just made some really bad decisions, kind of layered on bad decisions.
Yeah,
and
sad.
When we look at this race, you know, he left to run in Charlotte, asked me to run, presented me to President Trump as the conservative, the America First conservative in the race.
Wow.
Then he came back because the maps changed.
Yeah.
And based on what we've seen with Congressman Cawthorn, you know, we stayed in the race because so
well,
many people.
I think you said it well. I'm going to hold you for a second, but, you know, that you vote to the right of Madison, you score to the right of Madison is something. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. And trust me, as we get done here in a minute with Michelle and I move into some other stories that people have started saying, because I say it a lot, Michelle, and by Friday, I'm like snarky Friday. I get so snarky at the end of the week having to swim in this cesspool, not 100% cesspool, but a pretty significant cesspool of the culture these days. So by Friday, I'm usually ready to throw my hands up and I get rather snarky and it's a little bit more of a challenge to maintain my Christian witness. I wanted to ask you one more question and give you a chance to encourage and challenge everybody about May 17th and the primary. And you said, you know, you mentioned this earlier, not every Republican's actually a conservative. There's different shades of red, as you mentioned. And I think this might have been a surprise to a lot of people, their assumption being that the incumbent, like Madison Cawthorn, is Mr. Conservative, but you actually scored to the right of him. And so I just don't want people to kind of sit on the sidelines, whether they're out there in your area, North Carolina, Congressional District 11 out in Western North Carolina, or anywhere else, whether we're talking about a congressional seat like for you, which is a huge deal come November, or a local school board meeting, which I think, as you said, talking about mama bears, has become a huge deal as well. Why should people make sure they don't miss May 17th across the state? And then why should people in 11 vote for you?
Absolutely. No one should miss the primary. You have to be, we are called to serve in this way, and you have to get in there and vote, and vote educated. Know what you're doing from the bottom of the ballot up, the judicial races, congressional races, every one of them. Our country and our state in particular also hang in the balance.
Yeah.
What we see is that while this congressional district and being in the House of Representatives, I would represent the 11th congressional district. We also know that the votes matter and affect all of us. So, you know, we don't live in West Virginia, but Joe Manchin's being the stopgap between America becoming Venezuela and America having hope of staying America is critically important. So we have to make sure that we're sending true America First conservatives. So I would say that it's really important. Don't miss it.
Yeah.
You don't want to wake up in November and realize that Nancy Pelosi is still holding the gavel and we have two more years of this because we can't take anything for granted. Not one election, one race can be taken for granted.
Yeah. Amen to that.
And for us here in the 11th, you know, we're the true America First candidate. We have a strong focus on faith and freedom, getting back to common sense in the way that we govern, being incredibly fiscally responsible. Our top priorities are number one, getting the Mexican drug cartels off of our border and taking that back, starting to build the wall and get control of our border and making Title 42 law. Number two would be going back to energy dominant policies, as we talked about. And number three, we've got to get rid of all of the mandates. This they're making their way back in. Interestingly, we're starting to see the resurgence of those. And we need to have people who are going to stand firm on this. Yep. And someone who's going to be incredibly present doing great constituent services work. A member of Congress has two jobs. You go to Washington, D.C., and you vote on the conservative platform that you were sent there to vote on to protect the people of your congressional district. And then when at home, you have constituent services that cover your entire congressional district to take care of the people at home who need help with Veterans Affairs or Social Security or a letter to go to West Point or a pothole in their neighborhood.
Yep.
These are the real, you know, at the ground level, the things that people need from their member of Congress. There's only 435 people in the whole world that serve in the House of Representatives. It is an incredible honor to even be in the race, and it will be an amazing honor to serve the people of North Carolina. And we're the congressional candidate that will serve it with honor. And there's a big distinction there. And we're looking forward to getting to work. Much work to do.
Amen. Michelle Woodhouse, Woodhouse4NC.com. That's the number four, Woodhouse4NC.com. God bless you, sister. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll talk again. Okay, everybody, let's continue to remember that and pray for Michelle. Pray for Madison Cawthorn. Pray for everybody that's in positions of authority or trying to be in positions of authority. You cannot sit this out in your prayer life, and you certainly can't sit it out in your life in terms of voting. Let's make sure we switch off of Zoom. I don't know what you need from me over there, but we'll get moving forward. And then, so we talked about this. Michelle mentioned this in terms of the mandates. Okay, so let me start with this one. God. We are a nation of laws, not of men. That goes all the way back to our founding fathers. That's the supremacy clause of the United States Constitution. The United States Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land over everything else. Even the Pope. Not that Pope. I'm talking about Pope Fauci. So here's, Fauci. Here we go again. This is, Please help me, Lord. Dr. Anthony Fauci suggested Thursday that a court did not have the authority to strike down the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's mask mandate. U.S. District Judge Catherine Kimball Mizell said Monday in her ruling that the mandate exceeded the CDC's statutory authority. Wow, statutory, that's law. I was surprised and disappointed, Fauci said of the court ruling, because those types of things really are the purview of the CDC. This is a public health issue. Stop. What he just said is the CDC and the public health issue then overrides the Constitution of the United States. It overrides the rule of law, so we are not a nation of laws. We're a nation of men, in this case, one, Pope Fauci. If you look at the rationale for that, he goes on to say, it really is not particularly firm, and we're concerned about that, about courts, law, getting involved in things that are unequivocally a public health decision. No, we cannot have the law or the Constitution getting in the way of Pope Fauci's dictates. He said this during a CNN Plus interview. This will be one of the last ones that CNN Plus ever has. This is a CDC issue, should not have been in a court, he said. So we're hoping that the inevitable increase in cases, which we are seeing, are not going to be associated with an increase in hospitalization. So all these dynamic things going on at the same time, blah, 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 blah. Let's wait a period of time until May 3rd, which was a very sound public health decision. His remarks were met with outrage by social media users. Yes, including this one. Can please just retire and then move to a country, sir, where it's ruled by men and not by law, because that's what he wants, because he sees himself as a little g god. He is so given over and warped by this 2-year power trip he's been on that he just can't let it go. He's like a dog with a bone. And you can pull on the bone all you want, but they're just not letting it go, and you drag them all over the room. That's what Pope Fauci is. God help him. I love this guy, Ryan Walters. I heard him on Clay Travis and Buck Sexton yesterday. He's the Secretary of Education in the state of Oklahoma. Check this out. He sent a letter the other day to the Stillwater School Board members. That's one of the school boards in Oklahoma. Your incorrect interpretation of Title IX and use of court cases with no jurisdiction over Oklahoma gives you no right to allow men to use girls' restrooms in our schools. Remember Romans chapter 1, verse 28. A reprobate mind. They can't even think straight. They're incapable of thinking logically. That's what he's addressing here. Allow men to use girls' restrooms in our schools. The U.S. Department of Education's rules that your school board claims ordered this travesty simply allowed school districts to choose their own path, and Stillwater has chosen poorly. You have chosen radicals over your students, ideology over biology, and wokeness over safety. That's exactly right. Ryan Walters is thinking clearly, unlike the reprobate minds on this school board and many other school boards around the country. Today, I am asking you to work with your fellow board members to make it so that your students only use the bathroom of their God-given natural sex. See, he's a traitor in a nation of lies, right? This guy. Biological males should not receive unrestricted access to women's restrooms, leaving your young girls uncomfortable and afraid to enter them during school. If your board fails to reverse from this present course, I will do everything in my power to protect the children of Stillwater and restore safety and common sense. I urge you to take immediate action to halt your woke agenda, rectify this injustice, and put the true needs of our students first. Safety of children before your crazy ideology. Your reprobate mind ideology. That's what he's talking about. And then he fires off another letter to the superintendent, the interim superintendent of Stillwater Public Schools, named Gay Washington. No, that's not a misprint. It has come to my attention that the Stillwater Public Schools has likely been informed by the State Department of Education that public schools are required to permit biological males into women's restrooms based on their gender identity and vice versa. This is not accurate. No legal precedent currently requires Oklahoma schools to open women's restrooms and locker rooms to biological males or vice versa. Number one, the U.S. Supreme Court's Bostock decision does not do so. Number two, the Fourth Circuit decision addressing these issues does not do so. Number three, the Biden administration's statements, guideline letters, and the like do not do so. Moreover, he goes to write, The prior federal administration took the opposite view. Just last year, the U.S. Department of Education's general counsel wrote that, quote, "We believe the plain, ordinary public meaning of the controlling statutory and regulatory text requires a Title IX recipient providing a separate toilet, locker room, and shower facilities on the basis of sex to regulate access based on biological sex. The statutory text has not changed in the past year, nor has the Constitution." Sorry, Pope Fauci. So what he's saying there is, to go back to this, you know what Title IX does require? You know what we should do? We should have, if you have children, kids dealing with gender dysphoria, which is a mental illness that requires treatment and counseling and patience and love and time, not testosterone, hormone treatments, breast removal, and all the like. I'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. No, but we should have bathrooms. If they're struggling with this, they're struggling with gender dysphoria, let's love them well and provide a private bathroom for them, a private locker room, if that's possible, and let them do that. But you don't let a boy go into a girl's bathroom and vice versa. This guy, like Ron DeSantis in Florida, has the backbone to stand up and speak the truth to those that have reprobate minds, which is most. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. So little time, so much madness. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Thank you, Lord, that you're on the throne. God rules the universe with his feet up. Jesus is risen. Amen, amen, and amen. And one day this will all be a distant memory, and we don't have to worry about any of this stuff. And isn't that great? Ain't that grand? I love that. Okay, let me throw this one out here right quick. I heard this earlier today. I didn't even know this was happening. I was at the Human Coalition and Faith and Freedom event today that we had some folks on before talking about life in North Carolina in a post-Roe world. Okay, post-Roe versus Wade. I don't think it's going to get overturned in June, but I think it's going to get restricted. I think you might see a decision out of the Supreme Court that says you can't have an abortion after 15 weeks. That's a great move forward. But in today, that one of the speakers was talking about the Every Mother Matters Act. I love this, also known as EMMA, Every Mother Matters Act. So they've done this. This particular article is Oklahoma from February this year. They've done it in Tennessee, Texas, and Alabama. Okay, Every Mother Matters Act. The bill would make a woman seeking out an abortion get a pre-abortion resource access assistance offer. The woman would call a hotline seeking help with services like housing, childcare, and job searches. Burns, Senator Burns, there in Oklahoma, trying to push this through the state legislature, says the goal is to give women the support they need to choose life instead of abortion. Quote, "Many women facing unexpected pregnancies turn to abortion because they feel like they have no choice. We want to make sure they have an opportunity to connect with medical, financial, and other resources that they may not know about, said Burns. This legislation will do that as well as provide screening to identify those who've been victims of crime so that, with the woman's consent, a report can be made to the appropriate law enforcement agency. This is awesome. Emma, Every Mother Matters Act. You can reach across the aisle and say, hey, you guys are always talking about helping the downtrodden and the poor and the weak and those that don't have opportunity. And that's a big reason why a lot of women choose abortion. Don't you want to help these women? Or you just want to go the easy route out and say, oh, I'm all for it. Just about every Democrat out there, even to this day, is going to say, well, sure, I'd like to see abortion reduced. Okay, so you want to see abortion reduced. And you say that you care about the downtrodden, that we should be helping them with government funds. You know what? In this case, I totally agree with you. So can't we get this done? Can't we get an Every Mother Matters Act? We can decrease abortion and help these women struggling in an unplanned pregnancy who have very real challenges. I love that. Praise the Lord for that. And our friends at Human Coalition are leading this charge in many ways. Every Mother Matters Act. This was out of Oklahoma. They're also doing it in Tennessee, Texas, and Alabama. Hello, North Carolina. Hello. You guys there? Get it done. Every Mother Matters Act. It's great. Biden administration unleashes total transformation of government. No kidding. With equity action plans. Okay, so this was on April 14th, and they call it this total transformation. More than 90 federal agencies announced equity action plans. You should have all kinds of alarms going off in your head. The Department of Energy explained in its equity action plan released last week that it has already started considering factors other than technical merit when doling out financial assistance via a pilot program through its Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy. Starting back in March, applicants seeking research and development funding from that office have had to issue diversity, equity, and inclusion statements. This is reprobate mind social engineering tied to government power and money. It's brilliant. It's satanic also, by the way. So that's what's going on from the Biden administration. They came out recently talking about how the most loving thing you can do as a parent with a child that's a transgender is affirm them. Which leads me to this article, which I don't have time to go through the whole thing. I'm going to read the whole thing for you next week. The Testosterone Hangover, written by Susie Weiss. When Chloe woke up from an elective double mastectomy, she texted her mother in the waiting room, "Booba gone," she said. This was a little over 2 years ago. She was 15 at the time. The typo was intentional, she told me recently, the author. "I thought it was funny. Is that a good thing?" her mom replied. "Yes," Chloe texted back. "I don't think that answer aged well," she said to me, talking about Chloe. Chloe, who lives in California's Central Valley, always hated her body. She spent a lot of time on Tumblr and learned words like pansexual and bigender. She remembers when she was 12 sitting in her bed thinking, "Maybe I'm meant to live as a boy." By 2018, at age 14, Chloe was well along the path to what she imagined was boyhood. She was going by Leo. She was taking puberty blockers, and her mother was administering her weekly testosterone injections. 2 years later, in early June 2020, she went under the knife. Chloe was the beneficiary of what transgender activists call gender-affirming care, which means all the adults in her life, doctors, nurses, social workers, teachers, parents, now the entire Democrat Party and the President of the United States, actively supported her decision to become the person she believed she was meant to be, even if that person required an elective mastectomy in high school, or taking puberty-blocking drugs, or injecting cross-sex hormones like testosterone. In this, Chloe is also the poster child for the Biden administration's recently announced transgender policy. And that's her story in this article. And then there's another one. Helena, growing up in Ohio, meant Helena could only transition with the parents' consent because she was 15. But she was 15 and her parents were definitely not on board. She wore boys' clothes and a breast binder and cut her hair short. The guidance counselor at her public school agreed with Helena that she was a man. She helped her make a budget for her transition and referred her to the school psychologist, who was even more gung-ho. "I remember the psychologist saying," she said, "your mom is a transphobe," and telling me about suicide risks. They had 3 or 4 meetings before inviting Helena's mother to have a conversation with the both of them, which didn't go well. So that's her. That's Helena. Then there's another story in this article I'm going to get to. I'm going to read the whole thing for you next week. Maya Elias, who started identifying as trans at age 12. Phoenix Huddleston, when she came out as trans at 12. Julie, 27, who also transitioned and then transitioned, likens the policy to the practice of lobotomy. "I have this intense rage in me over the harm that was done to me," said Julie, who didn't want to be identified out of fear of backlash from activists. pro-trans people, the pro-trans party, the Democrat Party, and if you're a Christian and you're a Democrat, I want you to listen to me very closely. I'm speaking, saying this out of love, okay? I'm not speaking out of hate. They are okay virtue signaling by offering up children to the butcher. Let's drug them. Let's engage a 12-year-old who's confused. What? You're going to follow the advice of a 12-year-old who's gender confused? And at 13 or 15, you're going to get a double mastectomy. You're going to cut their breasts off. You're going to give them testosterone, hormone blockers. You're going to basically turn the whole thing into this is going to sound terrible, but I think this is an accurate comparison. It's like Frankenstein. And this is what the Democrat Party is for. This is what Disney is for. This is what the President of the United States and the Democrat Party up in Washington, D.C. is for. Children as lab rats in order to virtue signal. Because, Romans chapter 1, they've been given over to a reprobate mind. They can't even see clearly. And then I think of Jesus on the cross, thinking about these people that just beat him bloody, tore his flesh off his body, hung him on a cross. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Romans chapter 1, because they have a reprobate mind. These people are so lost. They're so given over. They can't even see what they're doing. They get a 15-year-old girl a double mastectomy. Biden wants the government, you and me, to pay for it. And he thinks that makes him a champion, that he loves this child, that the parent loves the child, supports the child, gives them transgender health care. This is satanic to the core, plus a reprobate mind. It's so disgusting. I'm really struggling to control myself right now. And that, in 2022, is, whether you want to hear it or not, the Democrat Party. It just is. So, my brothers and sisters, if you're voting Democrat, you're voting for that. No, Steve, I don't believe that personally. Doesn't matter what you believe personally. It matters what you, the people you elect, go do. And this is what the President of the United States is for. Double mastectomy on a 15-year-old girl and jacking them all up on hormone treatments and testosterone blockers. It's so satanic. It's so abusive. How, for the love of God, how do you support that? How do you underwrite that? How do you cast your vote like a talent for somebody like that? I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it when it comes to the abortion issue. And now there's this. Don't vote at all. That's what I would ask you to do. If you can't stomach voting for a Republican, at least don't give your talent. Don't invest your talent in somebody that thinks it's okay to do this to our children. I'll finish with this. Florida Department of Health. I might move to Florida. Challenges White House on irreversible trans treatments for children. The Florida Department of Health issued guidance Wednesday, taking a stand against irreversible transgender treatments for children, warning that such procedures present an unacceptably high risk of doing harm. Gender reassignment surgery, puberty blockers, and hormone therapy should not be treatment options for either children or adolescents, according to the guidelines. Rather, the guidance notes children and adolescents should be provided social support by peers and family and seek counseling from a licensed provider, not butchery. The department's guidance uses the most up-to-date scientific data available, and it prioritizes the overall health and well-being of Florida's children and adolescents, which Biden and the Democrats do not. This has nothing to do with kids. This has everything to do with them thinking, because they can't, because they're reprobate minds, that they're doing something good or beautiful. I mean, it's so messed up. The federal government's medical establishment releasing guidance failing at the most basic level of academic rigor shows that this was never about health care, State Surgeon General Joseph Lepando said in a statement. It was about, and listen, this is Florida, it was about injecting political ideology into the health of our children. Boom, well said. Children experiencing gender dysphoria should be supported by family and seek counseling, not pushed into an irreversible decision before they reach 18. Amen, 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 and amen. So again, I'm saying this with as much love and respect as I can. If you're planning on voting for a member of the Democrat Party in May or in November, and you really know the Lord, you know God, you know Jesus, he's your Savior, I'm not going to ask you to vote for a Republican. I'm just going to ask you not to vote. Because really, I mean, think about this. Pray about this. How do you empower a party that literally wants to do this to our children? This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.